The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Guys, you're responsible for taking care of you, and that means spending some time cleaning yourself up. But I know that can be a challenge, especially when you're not sure what products or razors to use. So to help you get started, I want to recommend Manscaped. They can help you take care of all your grooming needs, even when it comes to your more sensitive areas, or as our friends at Manscaped like to call them, the boys. Their trimmers, the Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, 4.0 Pro, and 5.0 Ultra are all equipped with skin-safe technology to help reduce the risk of grooming accidents. They're also waterproof and come with an LED spotlight so you can actually see what you're shaving. And I know that summer's coming, which means vacations and traveling for a lot of you. Well, Manscaped has you covered. Their trimmers come with a convenient travel case that you can easily pack and bring along. For the best you and your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Rogan at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code Rogan at manscaped.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Skin-safe technology does not guarantee cut protection. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. You guys know how much it means to me to stay in shape physically, but your mental well-being is just as important. When we keep things bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively, even if it seems like something small, like maybe you're stressed about work, maybe you feel a little lonely. It all starts to add up. And if you don't deal with it, well, these feelings will sit there and continue to fester. One way to work through whatever's weighing you down is talking. It helps more than you think. And if you need a safe place for that conversation, I recommend therapy. It's a great tool that you can use to figure out your feelings and learn positive coping skills. So if you want to give therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible. It's easy to get started, too. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/JRE today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/JRE. Ladies and gentlemen, the drunken Taoist himself, Daniele Bolelli. My friend, how are you?
Pleasure and honor to be here again.
Always a pleasure and honor to have you here, brother. How's it going? If you hear anything in the background, some giggling, Daniele's beautiful little daughter is here. Babysitting plans didn't work out, so we'll make it happen. But I'll feel weird about swearing. But that's all right.
Well, you should see what comes out of her mouth on a regular basis. So,
yeah, my daughter gives me a hard time. Or my wife, rather, gives me a hard time for swearing in front of our daughters. It's like there's like some period where there's a certain point in time where you're not allowed to swear. When they hit like 18, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
but anything before then, people get a little squirrely.
Of course. No, but it's hilarious because, you know, you can't help it. You know, you're going to listen to some music. You're going to, not even crazy stuff, but like, oh, yeah, she liked Katy Perry at some point. And so I'm like, okay, whatever, you listen to your song. And then she was still a couple of years ago. She was tiny. And she goes into school and she starts singing to her teacher. And her teacher is like, oh, cute song. You have such a beautiful voice. And she started going like, you PMS like a bitch, I should know. And I was like, no, 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 please don't say that.
Do you know the PC police is trying to take the word bitch out of our vernacular? Bitch is the latest one. Bitch is the new retard. I won't let go of retard. I don't care what you say. It's not a medical term. It's to retard is to slow down, yep. Is to be behind the curve. To be retarded is to be slow. It has nothing to do with Down syndrome or any diseases. I may have to ban it eventually. But for right now, I'm fucking staying strong. I'm staying strong with retard, and I'm staying strong with bitch.
And what's bad with bitch, exactly?
Well, it's a derogatory term for females. It's part of the patriarchy. Don't you understand? You know, you don't understand because you're a white male. You need to check your privilege, Mr. Bolelli. Have you not checked your privilege?
God. Yeah, I saw your tweet about checking your privilege.
I was thinking about checking my privilege yesterday. I didn't, though. I thought about it. I thought about checking my privilege.
What the fuck does that even mean, you know?
It's a way that people can silence you. Yeah. I mean, that's essentially what it is. I mean, the idea behind it has some merit. You know, the idea that there are people that have privilege in life and they need to understand that. I think it's a valid term. Yeah. When you're talking about minorities and poor people and people on welfare and people in foreign countries that have, you know, no health care and they're poor, I believe, support 100% that. But it gets used as a crutch to silence people. Mm-hmm. And it gets used as a crutch for people who lack the intellectual vigor to engage in an honest debate and discussion. They say, you need to check your privilege. I love watching videos of people that are really not that bright, but they're like getting involved in those debates, and they have that weapon, check your privilege. It's like a fighter that doesn't really know how to box but has an awesome overhand right.
Yeah,
and they just swing that overhand right. And the other boxer's like, bitch, get out of here with that overhand right. I didn't see that shit coming a mile away. Check your privilege. Oh, not that easy.
Yeah.
Your fucking argument sucks.
No, and I mean, I get it, because there are the people who are, oh, you know, we live in a colorblind society, everything, there is no more racism, we can all be equal, and if you are trying to argue anything but, you are a reverse racist, and I can see how some of these guys are dicks themselves, because they are, he's like, ignoring the fact that there's a whole history behind it, and when they say, we start the race evenly, it's like, well, somebody has their shoestrings tied together from 50 years of bullshit, not for 50,
least,
way more.
Yeah.
And so it's like, no, there is no even race. That's bullshit. But at the same time, when you turn it into everything is about what happened 200 years ago, it's like, come on, man. It's like, it's a fine balance there.
There's a website that, a Twitter handle that I don't follow them on Twitter because I don't want them to know that I follow them. But what I did is bookmark them and I go to her page all the time.
Oh, that's funny.
And her thing is about being child free. Hashtag child free.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, this woman's entire fucking Twitter feed is all about how happy she is that she doesn't have a child. And it's one of those, you know, methinks thou dost protest too much, you know. It's like, when you go to it, it's like, oh my God, like, is this your whole existence? Is like being happy that you don't have a child? Like, this is so bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bizarre hang-up, but that bizarreness is that's a characteristic of human beings. Like, they can get caught up in a bunch of different weird ways of thinking, and one of them can be just fucking meandering on and on constantly about racial issues.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know, and it
works.
By the way, have you seen Al Sharpton's girlfriend? Jesus Louises.
Really?
Oh my God.
That good?
Oh my God. She's a fucking 10.
Nice.
I mean, a young 10 with her arms around this crusty old dinosaur fucking suitcase pimp.
How old is Al Sharpton now?
He's like dead.
Yeah, seriously.
Officially dead. I don't know. It's fucking 1,000. He's 1,050. He's disgusting.
Yeah.
But he's just a creep. He's just a suitcase pimp. You know, he's just one of those guys. He's just a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
He figured out his way through that Tawana Brawley case where it was some false rape accusation. He was blaming all these white people. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's
of
a
course.
Race pimp. Look at her. Kapow! Ooh! Ah! Ee! And that's just one picture. By the way, this is a weird thing that happens with people's heads when they lose weight. You know, when people get really fat, their heads get big.
That's Al Sharpton now?
That's Al Sharpton now. He lost a lot of weight. He had his stomach stapled. And that's only one photo of her. She's 35. Yeehaw.
Well,
yeehaw.
Good for Al.
Damn. Yeah. What do they talk about? Crayons? Shit. She's not that young, actually. 35 is pretty.
She's a stylist.
She's beautiful. Somebody is not watching their little show. Somebody is sitting in Daniele Bolelli's lap.
What are we doing? Are we watching Little Krishna where Krishna kills demons or no?
she's done, dude.
Can I say hi to everybody?
It's because I'm really scared.
Okay, I'll hug you the whole time. How about
that? Like,
when
your mom's like
that. Oh, you can sit in my lap, watch your show.
This will be the first show ever where a little kid is here during the podcast.
Yeah, that should be.
You're so cute, I'm going to have to let it slide. I'm going to have to.
Just this one.
You sure
time.
You don't want to watch TV or anything?
What time?
What time? Well, it's right now, it is 1:10. You can watch TV if you want. Do you want to?
She's watching her show more or less. Barely. Let's see how that goes. Yeah.
When my daughter was 3, it was one of the cutest moments ever. My daughter was 3 when we went skiing. I took her skiing when
one daughter was 2 and the other one was 4. That's when I started them skiing. Yeah, I just think it's good to just get kids doing shit as much as possible.
That's great.
I take them to dance class and gymnastics, and I teach them martial arts.
Awesome.
But I think it's good to just get them used to traveling, get them used to doing things. But when she was 3, we were putting all the stuff into her little bag. You know, she's a little bag she carries when we travel. And she likes to pull her own bag. And she didn't have her helmet in the bag. And she had everything zipped up. And right when she finished zipping up, I'm like, honey, you didn't put your helmet in. She goes, shit. It's just something so adorable about a 3-year-old going.
Just throwing.
And my wife and I were just like, oh, no, she didn't.
In fact, I mean, the thing is, kids are going to do it, right? So what happens is, the deal that I struck with her was, I don't care if you do it around me. I get it. Hell, I do it too. But you do not. There are places where you do it, places where you don't.
Right.
At school, around other kids, in front of your teachers, no. At home. So one day, we're driving home from school, and she lets slip up something like that, where she goes, da, da, shit. And I'm like, is what? And she looked at me and is like, don't worry, I don't say it at school. I just say it here. And I'm like, okay, that's fair. And so she sees that she had to go ahead, and so she went, shit, 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 shit. Kind of got it out of her system, and that was that.
Yeah, so. It's tricky, because it's totally acceptable for adults in normal, rational conversations.
Right.
But, you know, it's not in certain circles. That whole thing, the whole censorship and language thing, is such a bizarre aspect of being a human being. These forbidden words that we use that essentially are interchangeable with words that are okay.
Yeah.
Like, what drives me crazy is when someone goes, frickin'.
Mm-hmm.
This frickin' guy with his frickin' thing. Like,
I hate that.
Whoa, what kind of bizarre corporate world we live with? Applebee's existence are we floating through here?
Yeah.
Frickin'.
No, it drives me nuts. I can't.
It's weird. It's weird.
And that's why, I mean, I don't overdo it. If I can check it, I'll try. But I don't try to censor myself around there in anything. You know, in anything that I do. It's kind of like, this is how I am, right? I'm not going to out of my way to make it extra weird. But I'm like, how I am is how I am. And I like talking to kids, not exactly like they are adults, because obviously they aren't.
Right.
But at the same time, not treating them like they are fucking stupid, where you just treat them like... goo goo gaga kind of stuff all day long. It's like, come on, man. Kids are way smarter than you give them credit to. And if you work with them like that from the get-go, they will surprise you time and time again with the stuff that they can say back to you.
Oh, without a doubt. I remember when I was a little kid, I still to this day remember people treating me like I was a moron and talking to me stupid. And I remember thinking, God, when I have kids, I'm never talking to them like that. So I talk to my kids like they're my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very sweet to them, very nice, and I'm like very understanding if they're crying about something that doesn't make any sense. But... when I explain something to them, I explain it to them like an adult.
Yep.
You know, I know their head's only that big, so can't possibly be as smart as me. But they're smart, man.
They are.
My 6-year-old can read now.
Wow.
Which is interesting, because I had a shirt on the other day that said 9 fucking oranges. Because I had this bit in my act that's based on a true story where I had my power cut off in my house. Because I didn't pay my bill back when I was young. I was very irresponsible. I wasn't even broke. I just didn't pay my bill. And so the guy came by to turn the power on. Seemed like a nice guy. And after he turned the power on, I go, hey, man, I had an orange tree in this yard of this house I was renting. And I go, if you want, I go, grab one of those oranges, man. I go, they're really delicious. And he goes, oh, okay, thanks. So the guy goes out there, and he takes 9 fucking oranges. And I swear to God, man, I was 20, I want to say, maybe 26, 27 at the time. That was 20 years ago. And to this day,
you're still
sometimes I'm in my car and I'll be driving around. I'll just go, 9 fucking oranges. And I talked about it on stage. And it's really true. It is a true story. And so this dude gave me this t-shirt at one of my shows that just said 9 fucking oranges.
Did he make it just for you?
Yeah. And it had oranges on it. I wish I had it on right now.
That's great.
But I wore it for one of the shows.
Yeah,
one podcast I wore it for. But anyway, I brought it home. And my daughter goes, I know what that says. Ooh. That's a bad word.
Ooh.
Is that a bad word? That's a bad word.
You'd have busted.
Well, I didn't even know she knew that word. First of all, I mean,
she's your daughter. Come on. At once in a...
I'm telling you, my wife runs a tight ship.
Really?
I try to keep it very PG.
I mean, sure, you can try only once, but there are times when... You know, I remember when she was 2 or something, where I dropped something. And for the rest of the day, she went on repeating, duck, duck, duck. And I'm like, I'm glad you think it's a duck what I said. Yes, duck. That's what I said when I dropped it, you know. But it's like, there's no way you can avoid it, you know.
No, like, there's no way. It's impossible. Yeah, there it is. Brian Callen. Brian Callen and I. Nine fucking oranges. You see, the fucking is covered by my name, but
nice.
That is what I said. That was when Brian Callen and I got back from hunting. Is that what that one was?
That was the
before hunting?
Before, 58 after, yeah.
Yeah. 56. No, we did two podcasts in a row, one before and one after hunting. We went up to this island, Prince of Wales, in the middle of Alaska. Terrible trip.
Really? Why?
It was beautiful, though. It was beautiful. It was a great trip. It was just an unsuccessful hunting trip. But there was what was great about it was when I came back home, I really appreciated civilization.
Oh, yeah.
We slept in a tent. It was wet. Everything was wet. Sleeping bag was wet. Mm. It was miserable. It was like 40 degrees. It poured every day. It was so much humidity that like inside the tent, like I had this little miner's light kind of thing, like a forehead light. I turn it on and you'd see the entire tent was filled with little floating beads of water. There was just that much humidity in there.
When did you guys go?
Was it summer? It was first week of October. It was too late.
Yeah, it's late.
Yeah, it was too late for the area that we were hunting in because the deer had already moved down. Right. We were at the top where the water is, where the lakes are, and the deer had already moved down. There's water up there, lakes that have no fish, giant lakes that are only there because of rainwater.
Wow.
Giant lakes of rainwater. And you drink it because there's no beavers.
Right.
You just dip your thing right in the water. We drank right out of the lake.
That's beautiful in itself.
It is beautiful. It's amazing in that sense. Like, I was prepared for diarrhea every day.
I bet.
But it never came. They were saying if you get giardia, like, you wouldn't get giardia. But giardia comes from animal poop. Uh-huh. And the only way you would get that is if there was a beaver up there.
Right.
But you could, like, run into a bear, and a bear could have pooped in there.
Yeah,
you could
exactly.
Get some bear poop in your mouth.
Yeah, that would be... Yeah, I can see how things could be more fun.
Yeah, but it's such an enormous lake. The odds of you getting any substantial amounts... Yeah. I mean, the reality is, unfortunately, we're constantly getting fecal matter and dirt and stuff in your body. And, like, even if you're a person who only eats plants... They say that one of the best ways that vegans get vitamin B12 is from bugs that they inadvertently eat that are on their food.
Yeah.
Which is kind of hilarious.
I had that the other day. I handed out this glass of wine to this lovely lady, and she grabbed it, and she was about to sip it, and she looked, and she's like, oh, there's a bug inside, and she handed it back to me. And I think I was already buzzed enough that I took a look at it, and I was like, just shrug my shoulder and down the bug and wine, and it was tasty. It was nice.
Bugs don't taste nearly as bad as people think they do.
No,
take it from me. From my days at Fear Factor, yeah. I've eaten quite a few bugs. It's more in your head than it is anything.
I mean, I wouldn't go for like nasty, weird-looking cockroach from outer space kind of thing, but, you know, little bugs, whatever, no big deal.
I ate a Madagascar hissing cockroach. It's like the size... Remember pagers?
That's serious.
It's about the size of a pager.
That's...
Yeah. Giant Madagascar hissing cockroach, I think they referred to.
That's pretty gross right there.
It's not bad, man.
No, was... I guess, you know what it is? It's not the thing itself, it's what it has crawled through.
It's all in your head.
Yeah?
It really is all in your head. Well, it's crawled through, yeah, disgusting. But the ones that we got, they were raised in a farm. Mm-hmm. You know, they were raised for movies and stuff like that. And, you know, for show business.
Oh, well.
It's really...
In that case, pass on the cockroaches and... let's have
Isn't
a snack.
Amazing that there's so many cockroaches, there's so much of a need for cockroaches that there's someone who raises them for television shows?
That I've never heard before.
It's crazy.
That's interesting right there.
And they would have millions of them, man. These guys
really?
Have like vats of cockroaches.
Wow.
Yeah. But I was around them so often, it just became nothing.
Right.
And I watched people eat them and, you know, I forget what it was. Oh, it was... one of the girls from a soap opera was like a celebrity Fear Factor, and I made her a deal that if she ate one of the cockroaches to move on, that I would eat a cockroach. And,
right.
And she wouldn't even eat a cockroach. She ate a worm instead. I would rather eat a roach than a worm. But,
yeah, I don't know. About even in my book.
See, a worm, I think, is filled with dirt.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, they eat dirt. They're
but then again, a cockroach is not exactly, you know, rubbing himself day and night and taking showers.
I'm telling you, eating it was very, like, no taste at all. It was really? Very mild. Just it exploded in my mouth, and I crunched it, but it was very mild.
Really?
Like, if I had to, if I was starving, I would eat.
Oh, yeah.
I would starving. Eat a bowl of those things. No problem.
If you're starving, yeah. I don't think there are too many things that one doesn't eat.
You know? Yeah.
It's like...
It makes you gag a little just because it just feels gross in your mouth. But yeah. The reality of like the actual flavor of it, it's not that bad.
Not too bad. Nice. Yeah.
It's not, no worse.
Yeah.
People are saying that in other countries that bugs are becoming like a viable form of protein.
Oh, yeah. They say it's really clean protein. It's less fattening than most other type of protein. So, yeah, if you can get over the, ew, this is gross, supposed to be actually good for you.
Yeah, probably not just less fat. I mean, how much fat is in a bug?
Yeah, I would imagine next to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, but they're super lean, right?
Yep. So
they even have like cricket like snacks that you can buy at like hiking places. They sell like these cricket bars.
I've done that before. There was a friend.
Is that her? Yeah, her sound coming maybe out of her ears?
Okay.
Her earbuds? I was wondering what that was. I thought maybe someone was outside cranking music.
One of these things fell off her ear and I need to just... Okay, you can listen to the other one. I'll just plug this one up.
She's so adorable. It's all right, man.
I had that before with a friend of mine was from Oaxaca, Mexico. And so one of their traditional thing, they will have these entire plates filled with crickets. And, you know, he didn't grow up there. He grew up out here, right? His parents were all into that stuff. So one day he's like, oh, I have to try. He orders it at his Oaxacan restaurant. And he just look at it. And I can see he's about to throw up like any second now, right? He's just like... And I'm like, come on, it's not that bad. And I have to say, I ate them. I mean, you can eat them, but I can think of about 10,572 things that are better than that.
Yeah.
They are not the tastiest thing in the world. And they look at you, you know, they are not that tiny. So they have their eyes that you can clearly see. I'm crunching on some cricket eye right now. It's like,
but why is that gross, but like a lobster is okay?
No, I mean, there are some stuff that I agree with you. Some things are, it's total social conditioning, you know, it's nothing else. It's, you just brought up with the idea that that's normal and then it's normal. But otherwise, it's not. It's just as weird as a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, because, I mean, essentially, like crabs and lobsters and crustaceans, they're really like bugs.
Yep.
They're bugs that just live in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
They're water bugs.
And lobster are one of the few things that I can't quite... I mean, the whole thing of boiling them alive, that freaks me out.
Really?
You know? I mean, other stuff is like, I have no problem, you know. It's like the hunting thing. You know, you go out, you hunt, an animal is free, has a good life. You kill them, you eat them. Totally make perfect sense to me. Boiling alive something, actually involving torture to make sure that you get to eat it, I feel like I can eat something else, you know. I can eat... And again, it doesn't have to be a vet. I can eat... I have no problem with the whole eating meat thing or hunting or any of that.
Just
I feel
the
that the degree
alive.
Of pain part is like, come on, man.
Well,
really
if it makes you
to...
feel better, they say that lobsters lack the nerve endings to feel pain.
Really?
Yeah. They also regenerate limbs. Mm-hmm. So if a lobster loses a leg, it just grows back.
In that case,
yeah,
bring on the lobster.
Yeah. So if you really wanted to humanely eat lobster, you just hack their arms off and they just keep letting them grow their arms back. And then eat only their claws. You could do that. It would work. I don't know how long it would take to regenerate a claw, but they regenerate the same way like crocodiles do.
Right.
They regenerate as well. Some lizards do.
I remember when I was a kid, I went to my maternal grandfather's house in the by the seaside. And, you know, I would hardly ever see him. So it was kind of a new thing. And it was already weird enough. And one day, I'm thirsty, I wake up in the middle of the night, I go to the fridge, I open the fridge, and this fucking giant lobster jump out of the fridge and start running away, because he had captured it and he kept it there alive. And I was like, what the hell is this? Freak the hell out of me forever.
That's the weird thing about lobsters, is that they live in the ocean, but you can ship them in a box.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't even have to be in water, and they get to you, like, from Maine, and they're alive.
Yep.
Every day in Vegas, they have lobster shipped in from Maine to their restaurants. It's like, how the hell? Like, what are these things? Like, they don't even have to breathe?
I know.
Like, how many days can they go without breathing?
Yeah, I have no idea, but it's freaky. It's definitely freaky.
Yeah, it's as freaky as it comes. She needs some sort of a television show for this to work.
There is a television show right there.
But she's not
just
watching
not
it.
Watching it. Yeah. She's more interesting to interrupt.
We should have worked this out, man. I would have brought my kids over. They could have had a little party.
I know.
And we just would have heard yelling and fucking play next door.
I've been wild and crazy over there.
Yeah, I don't know what it feels, but the one thing I do know is when you throw a lobster in the water and the water boils, they try to get out.
Yeah.
So I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I don't buy it either. It sounds a little weird to me.
That's like a convenient thing that people say.
Yeah. It's like, no, they don't feel anything. They like it, actually. It's like a sauna to them. You know, it's like they have this pleasant sauna, and all of a sudden they die peacefully and go to lobster heaven, and all is good. And yeah,
they hear music, and they just expire.
They want to go to their dead relative lobster who has been in your pot before, and they reunite in lobster heaven, and all is well, and they...
Well, one thing that is interesting about like prey animals like deer and antelope and stuff is that they believe now that like when an antelope gets captured by like a lion or something like that, that when the lion bites down on it, that its brain floods with chemicals and it almost sort of gives up.
Yeah.
Like it kicks a little bit, but it just sort of gives up.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fight like, say, as if like if a lion captured like a predator, mm-hmm. you know, some other predator.
Right.
Like a leopard or something like that. They would fight for their...
Right.
They would go crazy and make screaming noises and everything like that. But antelopes are just like, oh, this is just my place in the world.
I'm the prey. I got caught. Yeah. Okay, I'll check out. Next life, we'll try again.
See you soon. Yeah. I'm going to come back as a giraffe or some shit.
What's your take on that kind of stuff? Do you actually semi-believe in reincarnation? What's your take?
I don't not believe in it. Because I think the idea of life itself is so bizarre. Uh-huh. The idea that we have a soul, that we have... consciousness, that we can see through our eyes, that we navigate with sound and feel and memory. I mean, it's so bizarre that reincarnation is not outside of the question. I mean, I don't know if there is such a thing as a soul.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this life is. I don't know, like, is this a finite experience where you're born and then you die, or are you drifting in and out of parallel experiences every time you go to sleep and wake up? I mean, are you on the same timeline constantly? When you wake up and you have this memory of mm-hmm. your existence in this life, that you are you sure that that's exactly how everything goes? I mean, just because all the people in your life seem to think that that's how everything goes, how do you know that you didn't go to bed last night with a totally different existence and wake up with a memory of this life that you're living right now, just completely embedded in your head? I mean, we don't know.
That's like the famous Chuang Tzu and the butterfly, right? The whole Taoist sage Chuang Tzu was all like, they ask him about his dream, and he say, yeah, I had this dream that I was a butterfly, but now I'm puzzled because I don't remember anymore. I don't know if I'm really Chuang Tzu and I was dreaming that I was a butterfly, or if I'm actually a butterfly and this is the butterfly's dream, thinking that she's Chuang Tzu. And that's like the paradox of you never fucking know, right?
Yeah, you never fucking know. I had a really intense dream once that was so realistic that to this day it haunts me, because I was some sort of an animal, like a wolf or something along mm-hmm. those lines, and we were sneaking up on this deer,
mm-hmm.
and the deer heard like a branch snap or a leaf move, and I could smell fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember smelling fear, like smelling the tingling in this animal's body as it was thinking about bolting, as it was wondering whether or not it heard anything. And I also remember smelling water. I could smell the water that was dripping, and then I woke up. I remember thinking, like, what the fuck is going on? Because I remember there was other similar animals near me, some wolf-like animals mm-hmm. near me, and we were, like, communicating without words in some sort of strange, primitive way. It was a very short dream, but I woke up. But I remember thinking, wow, that was an intensely realistic experience. Because I didn't feel like, while it was going on, I wasn't like, oh, I'm a person that thinks it's a wolf. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like I was in this animal's mind. Of course, it could easily be imagination.
Sure, but then again, it's some of those dreams. I know exactly what you mean, because some of the things are weird. There's stuff that I know what I've experienced, and then sometimes there's something that clicks in that is like, this is not part of my life. This is what I'm feeling right now is way beyond the range of my experience. This is not part of the game. And that's what I find it trippy. You know, I find mm-hmm. it really interesting. Like, you ever see the movie Legends of the Fall?
Yeah.
You know, I really like that movie. I could only watch it that one time, and I could never watch it again.
Why?
Because it freaked the hell out. There was one scene where, if you guys haven't watched Legends of the Fall and you plan to do it skip the next minute because I'm gonna give spoilers.
Spoiler alert!
From a movie from 20 years ago. Exactly right. It's like, not exactly a big spoiler, but there's that scene where Brad Pitt's brother got killed in World War One, and he goes berserk and he kind of goes behind enemy lines, and he and the next scene you see is you see coming back into camp, and he's covered in blood. He has German scalps all over him. And he's walking through the camp, and everybody's opening up to let him go through. Nobody's saying a word. There's this sense of, and there's the sense about him that he's kind of larger than life. He has done this crazy thing of going single-handedly again, killing probably 10, 15 guys, something insane. And yet there's this sense of extreme sadness, like all that power, all that warrior ability doesn't give him what he truly needs, which is to get back his loved ones, you know.
Right.
That so that combination of extreme larger than life power and total tragedy that you can't, you know, that all that power doesn't really help you. When I saw that scene, it was so damn familiar in a way that it's not my, you know, it's not how my life up until that point had been. It had no parallel whatsoever in my experience. And it wasn't like any other movie where I see something and it's like, oh, cool, I can kind of relate to that on some degree. And it hit me like, oh my God, I know that feeling so damn well. And then I think about it, I'm like, where do I know that feeling? You know, 20 years ago, whenever I saw Legends of the Fallen, like, there's nothing in my life to mirror that, not even a tiny bit.
Well, the imagination is such a wonderful and incredible thing. It's just, it's so impossible to really understand the boundaries of the imagination. Mm-hmm. And people can imagine memories. I mean, there's been moments where people have been talked into remembering things by, like, through experiments, like through with you know, someone would counsel them and give them a memory of the past and then coach them through this memory. And then time will go on and they'll think that that was a real memory.
Oh, yeah.
And what is that? I mean, the imagination itself is such a bizarre aspect of being a human being. The ability to, like, this wolf thing that I had in my mind, essentially that was my imagination. I mean, the only other option is, what is it, a suppressed memory from my genetics from a long time ago when I was some sort of an animal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, the idea of evolution is essentially that human beings in 2014 are the result of millions of years of change, of natural selection, of all these different slow processes that have led us to being this thing that we are today. But this thing has a direct link to whatever the fuck survived from that gigantic asteroid that hit the Yucatan and was one and a half miles deep.
Right.
Like, slam, I think it was like 5 miles deep into the Earth within the first second and a half. Killed everything. Everything larger than, you know, I think McKenna used the term a chicken. Everything larger than a chicken. So just like as a point of reference.
Right.
And just weird little mammals, rat things survived. So somehow or another, from 65 million years ago, those weird little rat things that survived became us.
You see around, yeah, exactly. All the mammals around us and everything else. It's
nuts. What is, you know, but there's no direct chain to any wolves. There's no direct chain to any, I mean, even the lower hominids, even the ones that ate meat, they weren't on all fours. They weren't, so there's no, right. I have no past with wolves.
No.
So if that's the case, like, what is that thing? Is that just total imagination? Is it just the psychedelic chemicals that flood your brain during heavy REM sleep, just creating a beautiful image for you to try to conceptualize and wrap your head around? Or are you drifting in and out of realities?
Right.
Are you a monkey one day, you know? And then you go to sleep, you wake up, and you're Danieli Bolelli. You have your life, and everything is normal. But were you a monkey yesterday?
Right.
You know?
Well, I'm probably, some would argue that I'm a monkey right now. But
well, everybody argues that I am. I mean, it's obviously one of those stoner conversations that you have. Like, how do you know?
Not that we would know anything about that.
I would
so
know.
It's like,
I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But those conversations are so common. Like, how do you know that, you know, when you go to bed and you wake up in the morning, you're the same person?
Right.
But you don't know. And that's the weird thing about going to bed, is that everyone wants to do it. Everyone wants to sleep and everyone's scared to die. Everyone wants to shut off temporarily, but no one wants to shut off permanently.
Oh, yeah.
It is a very, very odd existence.
Because, you know, if there were any guarantees, if truly people... That's why I don't really buy a lot of the religious people who think they say, I believe in this afterlife, this and that. It's like, if you really did, you would be way more relaxed about a lot of things in life because you wouldn't have that fear of that. It's like, what do I have to be afraid of? There's nothing to be afraid of. It would be cool. It's like, great. You know, I do my thing here. Whenever I check out and I go to this other cool place. Everything is great. There's no reason to fear. The fact that people are obviously not thrilled with the notion of dying makes me think that they don't believe it half as much as they actually do.
Well, belief systems are very strange. It can really seem in your mind to be absolutely real, and you will explain these beliefs to someone else, and they will tell you that you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was on a set once. I was doing this thing, and I was talking to this girl and her sister. They seemed totally normal. And then the girl, I don't remember what we were talking about. It had something to do with gay people. I don't remember what it was. It was something like about gay marriage or gay people.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about how the woman was saying that it's a sin. And I thought she was joking.
Right.
I really thought she was joking. Because it was a set, like a television set. She's like, well, it's a sin. I was like, yeah, it's a sin. And then I realized she was serious. And I go, so you think that God created people that are gay and then did it like as a goof, like a trick? Like, what is that?
Right.
And she goes, no, you don't understand. She said that the devil's scales are covering your eyes.
Wow.
And I said, the devil's scales are covering my eyes. I'll never forget that term.
That's...
The devil's scales. I didn't know the devil had scales.
That's when it's time to run.
Well, no. I mean, she was friendly. She was just, who knows, man? Who knows? It was this girl and her sister. And the girl, the one that I was originally talking to, seemed totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
But her sister was just out to lizunch.
Right.
And that's the devil's scales are covering your eyes.
Wow.
Like, what? And it was just about gay people.
Yeah, that's...
No. Yeah.
That's quite freaky right there.
Yeah, but it's like people pick and choose shit, man.
All the time.
Like, I know this dude who's really religious, but he has religious tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, motherfucker, but you got to read the whole Bible.
You're not supposed to have that. Right, exactly.
You got to read all of it. You're not supposed to tattoo yourself.
But that's why, in fact, to me, is like when people say either they are pro or against any one religion, to me it's silly because it's like when somebody tells me they are Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or whatever that may be, he's not telling me anything really. Because as you say, people pick and choose what they want out of that. So one guy's way of being Christian is totally awesome. They're going to be super nice people and their belief system helps them being nicer people.
Yeah.
The next guy, their way of being Christian, because they pick and choose the crappiest part out of the Bible, is scary as hell. And their way of being Christian is run for your life, you know? So to me, the label itself, I'm not interested in even arguing about whether one religion is good or bad. Because the reality is that in every one of them, you're going to find at least some good part. In some, there's a lot more than in others, but you're going to find at least a little bit that's good in just about everything. And you're going to find also tons of crap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in which parts you pick and how those parts inform your behavior. How do you behave based on your beliefs? That's what interests me.
Yeah, it's like the idea of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like all drugs are not just drugs. The idea is like, you know, I'm a religious person or I'm a Christian.
Right.
Well, Fred Phelps was a Christian.
Right.
And then there's like Rupert Sheldrake is also a Christian.
Right.
You know, there's very different ideologies at work here, but they're both calling themselves Christian.
Yeah.
And Fred Phelps is just this evil, mean, creepy old fuck that eventually died, just rotted in his own filth and fucking anger.
Yep. That's exactly how it is. That's why, to me, even the whole anti-religious view of the world sometimes gets too dramatic because it's like, oh, Christians are terrible, Muslims are all evil. It's like, do you really think every single one out of millions of people who belong to those things, they are all bad people? Come on, man. It's like there's the nice lady who pick the parts that are all about being nice to your neighbor and charity and whatever, and that's her way of being Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, and there's nothing wrong with it, and it's actually pleasant, and I'm sure it actually helps her life. Other beliefs, yes, those are scary. And anybody going by those beliefs, then you see it in action and it's not. helping an old lady cross the street is chopping people's head off because they don't believe the same thing you do. That's the where you get, that's the freaky part. But I don't even care what it's, people again always argue about which one is the one who does all this shit. It's not even just religious alone, because if you look at like communist dictatorship, Nazis, they've all done it in the name of, it's totalitarianism, you know, it's that idea of everybody needs to live according to my way of life, and anybody who doesn't need to be squashed. That's the scary thing, regardless of which label is attached to it, regardless of which set of clothes it's decided to wear, is the same shit.
Yeah, ideologies are, they're problematic because when you you force yourself into like a framework, you force yourself into a pattern, anything that's outside of that framework is like automatically not to be considered. And when you have like rigid thinking, anytime you have like really, rigid thinking like, hey, you shouldn't rob people. Hey, you shouldn't go around stealing. You shouldn't go around stabbing people. You shouldn't, I mean, there's rigid things that in a sense that like are pretty clear cut. It makes sense because they're causing harm and there's also ideologies that are just like you get locked into them and you're forced to think that way because of it. Like people that will tell you that this religion is correct because this religion is the truth. Like they'll force themselves to like be stuck in that little box.
Right.
And you don't want to admit that you ever fucked up and lived 20 years of your life believing in some nonsense, so then you're stuck. You're stuck in this little box. And that could be atheism just as much as it can be Christianity. Because I've met a lot of atheists that I'm like, listen, you're in a religion. You're just in the religion called atheism. Yep. And they like want you to proclaim that you're an atheist. Like, I know this dude that's an atheist, and like he gets upset if I say I don't know. You know, like
drives me insane. That to me is the most honest thing you can say is about a lot about stuff of the universe is I don't know, because that's the reality of it.
He hasn't had any really extreme psychedelic experiences either.
Right.
He's had none. In fact, he's a very smart guy, but his ideas are like only based on his own personal experiences and what he's learned and what he's read. And he's a very smart person. He's very aware of religion, but he's like so adamant about proclaiming there is no God. And I'm like, look, dude, I have seen things on mushrooms that are way crazier than an old man with a book checking your name in the cloud and leading you through pearly gates. And there's a bunch of people with wings. I've seen some shit that's way crazier than that. So that I don't think that's real. But there's no evidence whatsoever in my estimation that exists. But the idea that there might be some universal consciousness that we want to describe as a God.
Absolutely.
And it's just, it's not this old man in the clouds wearing robes. Mm-hmm. It's just something maybe even beyond the realm of humanity, beyond the realm of the possibility of us understanding. I don't see any evidence for that, but I'm not throwing it out.
Exactly. I mean, if somebody's telling you some crappy fairy tale that's obviously poorly written and is bad screenwriting, it doesn't take a genius to figure out, okay, that's just bullshit and I can see it. But if you define God in some other way, then how the hell do you know that, you know, once you reject just the most basic, silly type of fairy tale, everything else is up for grabs because nobody really knows. I mean, the universe is, that's why to me it's kind of hard to have the discussions about religions, even like the books I've written about religion, because usually people who don't like organized religion is because they are big fans of, you know, kind of a hardcore materialist worldview where it's all about what you can see and touch and nothing else exists.
Right.
So then you write a book that pleases those guys and doesn't please the religious folks. That's great. You still have an audience. But if you argue for something more subtle, if you argue for something that's basically not dogmatic, either religiously dogmatic or in a hardcore materialistic form dogmatic, then you're shit out of luck in terms of finding an audience because there's no niche that you jump into right away, right? It's not just one simple, you know, there's those group of guys that are going to be right behind you. You're asking people to be aware on a moment-by-moment basis. So rather than just simply, you know, buying into a dogma, spouting the ideology, spouting the this is what we believe, 1, 2, and 3, you're asking people to live life without relying on a damn recipe that you apply at every little thing you run into, and instead you to use their nose, to use their, I sniff the situation right now. I'm able to, in this particular case, I'm going to do this thing. In this other case, the same thing that worked 2 minutes ago is not appropriate and is not the right thing to do. It's kind of like in fighting, you know, it's like there's a rhythm to things, there's a timing to things. And going with a plan a rigid plan. Going with a plan is great, but going with a rigid plan that you're not going to change regardless of what's in front of you is the recipe for death. You know, you're going to screw up. Same thing, why would life in general be any different? Rigidly applying this scheme to everything that comes your way. I mean, to me, real talent is being able to judge things.
We can hear that, unfortunately. Her little earbuds are picking up on the microphones.
Okay, let's try now.
Are you sure you don't want to watch TV? Uh-huh. That's ridiculous. My kids watch TV every chance they get because I don't let them watch TV. So I could always go, do you want to watch some TV? Like, yeah.
That works, huh?
Hook that up. Yeah.
Yeah, this is...
It's the greatest thing ever for travel, man. For travel, you put on one of those things behind the headset, and people will go, oh, why do that? Why not have your kids, like, have a conversation with you? She's fucking four.
Yeah.
Right?
That conversation only lasts so long, right?
It's... Not only that, there's, like, educational cartoons now.
Yeah.
There's cartoons that, like, teach them how to spell mm-hmm. and teach them, and they can sing along with it and learn, you know, phrases and words. Have you ever heard of, well, there's atheism, mm-hmm. obviously, but there's a thing called Atheism Plus. Have you ever heard of Atheism
What's
Plus?
What's Atheism Plus? Do tell.
It's essentially a new religion. It's atheism plus a set of moral guidelines. I call it duh. This is why I call it duh. Because it's like, it's all be a good person.
Right.
But I just think that's duh. You know, and maybe like when it comes to things like racism and these sort of discussions or homophobia or any sort of discussion about inequality or treating people in a very negative way because of something that they can't control, like their sexual orientation mm-hmm. or the way the skin they have, what color they are, what part of the world they're from. I think anybody who's a good person sees that in 2014 and recognizes that's a fucked up way to think.
Mm-hmm.
So these people... This Atheism Plus thing, they have like atheism, so they're all saying there's no God, but we want a set of moral guidelines to live our lives by. No sexual harassment. The sexual harassment and feminist issues are mm-hmm. a big aspect of that.
Right.
It's mostly a lot of like really weak men placating to a lot of like angry women. And they formed this group where they all sort of get together and they have conferences and they just duh each other to death. They say duh. I mean, it's all right. just the same shit. It's like, it's all shit that you should already know.
Right.
Like, don't be racist. Yes. Don't sexually harass women. Absolutely. Don't rape. Of course. You know, don't murder. Duh. You know, like, okay. How many times can we talk about
right.
this? Like, at a certain point, I've watched a bunch of their conferences online, and it's hilarious.
I bet.
Because it's so fucking pedantic. At the end of, like, you get beaten to death by what they're fucking saying. It's like, you should already know this. Everyone right. should know this. This is silly.
And I think that depends on what audience you're speaking to. Because, you know, for anybody who's a semi-decent human being should have learned this by the time they are five and it's like done and over with, are we still talking about it? Then, of course, there are a bunch of people who are not exactly semi-decent human beings. So maybe for those guys is a good message. But I agree with you. It's like, to me, my thing is like, I've used this time and time again in podcasting, in writing. I always write the whole idea that rules are for people who are too stupid to live without rules.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you are smart, you don't need the damn rules because you know how to make the right call in every situation. And you don't need anybody telling you, look, don't rape anybody. It's like, I don't need you to tell me. I got it. You know, and in this situation and in the next, no, it's not going to apply. That's not that there's going to be the exception to the rule, right?
Right.
Other things, there are going to be exceptions. But still, you're going to have the intelligence to be able to make the right call. You are somebody who's coming to mug me, they may be punching you in the face is a good idea. You are somebody who's disagreeing with me, punching you in the face, you're crazy. You're a sociopath, you know. You don't need a rule telling you when is it appropriate or not. You know, you are able to make the right call when it happens.
Yeah.
And that's where this freaking child is like,
amazing that you can carry on a conversation with her squirming, crawling on you. This is not working out nearly as well as we were hoping it was going to.
No, it's a we're hoping
she was going to watch the television or watch her little video.
Yeah, this is. Yeah. I can do it. I mean, sorry if it's disturbing you.
No,
I deeply apologize.
No, it's no worries, man.
I honestly thought, I also had higher hopes than this. Then again, she's five. What the hell? That's my fault.
Yeah, they are what they are at five.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, she surprised me because she'll do things that I'm like, really? How the hell? Like, I had this conversation with her the other day where she's telling me, I don't like that I'm so sensitive, because every little thing, you know, I feel everything too much. And when I'm happy, I'm really happy. And when I'm sad, I'm really sad. And I'm like, you're five, really? We're having this conversation. And then she goes even one step further. She goes, but you know what? It's okay, because at least when I'm happy, I'm really super happy. So I'll take the pain off when I'm really sad.
Wow.
I'm thinking, Jesus, who are you again? Let's try this. So, you know, I get tricked in those conversations when I'm like, way, you are way bigger than five. I can take you to do this and that. And then I realize, no, she's a five-year-old girl. There are limits to the game. But
well, there's understanding that comes with being a human being, and that's what she's got. She's a human being with, you know, however, 100 months on the planet or something like that? You know, it's like,
there's limited. Not just, even. Yeah.
Imagine. I mean, imagine trying to figure the world out with 100 months of experience and, I mean, a year of school or whatever she's been in. It's like impossible.
Yeah.
But you do have that little human brain, and then you're also juggling around this this collection of words that you've acquired.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to express these ideas and thoughts and feelings.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that freaked me out about her from the get-go is that she, not exactly now, because she's not picking up on the frustration of it all, of the discussion, but normally she has an insane level of empathy. Not just for a kid, but like even for adults. I see her, like, she's always, whenever she sees somebody who's having a bad day, who's really sad, she instantly goes to them. She's trying to, like, I've seen her at school where she'll go to a kid who's like, wait, isn't that the kid that you don't like, who's always giving you a hard time? And she's like, yeah, but I still feel bad. Look at what a bad day this guy's having.
Wow.
And, she's going to like trying to comfort them and do this thing. I'm like, Jesus, man, you're really nice. You're nicer than me, I'll tell you that much. You know?
Maybe that's what it is. I definitely think kids recognize things that their parents do that they don't think are the right way to handle things. And they come up with their own sort of workarounds. Right.
It was pretty hilarious seeing her in school where she was clearly quoting Bob Marley, because she was going through a phase where Bob Marley was God.
So, Bob Marley?
Yeah, she was
five.
I know, she loved Bob Marley to death. And she would, she went to this kid who was crying because his mom had left, and this was like in preschool or something. She was four. And she started rubbing the kid's back as the kid is crying. And she said, don't worry about a thing. Every little thing is going to be all right. And I'm like, I know where you got that. That's three little birds. And
that's hilarious.
And then she'll have her own weird things on that. One day she's like, she's in the car and she's asked me for the millionth time for Bob Marley. And I'm like, okay, no problem. What song do you want? And she's like, Two Little Birds. I'm like, no, baby, it's Three Little Birds. She's like, no, two. I'm like, what do you mean two? It's three. No, one got shot, so now there's two little birds. And I'm like, Jesus, that's morbid, really? That's how we're going to play today?
Wow.
But, yeah.
My daughter, who's four, keeps asking me to take her hunting.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if she's just serious or if she misses me when I go away and she wants to do... Like, she's never heard a gunshot. She's, you know, there's... there's obviously no way she's going to be able to pull back an arrow that's strong enough to kill an animal. So it's like, that's not going
to
happen.
No, of course. But step one would probably get used to hearing gunshots.
I don't know. She's just so bored.
Tell me.
What's the matter?
What do
you need?
My daughter told me last time you pinch.
I pinch you. I pinch you because you are driving me crazy, puppy. That's why I pinch you. It was my way of saying stop squirming.
He's saying settle down.
Yeah.
We can't put on a show for you or something like that, a television show for you to watch?
Yeah, baby, actually, let's do this. Serious. Sit down and watch your show because we can't do it like this, okay?
Unfortunately, this is being seen by thousands and heard by hundreds of thousands.
The failing of Bolelli as a parent. That's today's podcast title.
There's nothing failing about it at all. Like I said, it's you know, that's one thing of becoming a father and, you know, being around kids. When I was really young, like if I was like in my early 20s, I would never be able to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like little kids, I'd be like, oh, the guy brought his little kid. But like when I'm on a plane and like little kids crying, it doesn't bother me at all.
Really?
It used to drive me crazy.
Yep.
But when you have kids, it's one of those things where you kind of recognize. One of the things that happened, the big shift that happened, is I started thinking of everyone as being a baby.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time. Like, one point in time, Kim Jong-il was a baby.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, like, Idi Amin was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
All these weird people in the world, you know? That fucking Pistorius guy that shot his girlfriend through the bathroom door. That guy was a baby.
Yep.
Okay? You know, all these creeps and fuck-ups and assholes. Babies. Gloria Allred was a baby. That was a cute little girl. Now she's fucking robbing people. Using the law to just straight up rob dudes.
How much do you believe in whether it is DNA or a soul or something, like something that's purely uniquely about that person when they are born and that's part of how they are, or how much is culture? You know, the famous nurture versus culture debate. What's your take on what's more important in this?
I don't know. Well, they have done studies where they've taken twins that were separated at birth, that were adopted, and they get them together after not seeing each other entire life, and they find out they like the same kind of music.
Really?
Yeah, they have very similar likes and dislikes. Their personalities are very similar. There's a strong argument for nature over nurture.
Right.
But there's no denying that nurture plays a huge role as well. I don't think it's either or.
Right.
I think we live in a soup of possibilities. And I think that you can get super lucky with the amount of exposure that you have to positive and even to negative things. Like, there's an expression, hard times make good people, you know? And I do believe that in a certain sense, that there's some experiences that children and adults even have that they get through, and it makes them more empathetic, it makes them kinder, it makes them more understanding, and it makes them stronger, like more character.
Even that, though, is funny, because you're right. I mean, there's part of that argument that's totally true, and you do see that happen a lot. And then you see somebody who goes through the exact same thing, and it makes them 10 times more of an asshole.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I got hurt, so I'm going to hurt everybody else in the process, and screw them. And it's like, that's where you think, like, what is that make this one person make a right turn and go in a direction where they become kinder and nicer because they felt what it is to get hurt? And what is the other one make the complete opposite turn and go in a direction of, I got hurt, so I don't care for anybody else's feeling. Everybody has to pay for the fact that I got hurt once.
Yeah.
It's weird, right? It's like there's that moment where you can really make a 90-degree turn one way or another. What is that make people make the choices they make?
It's a very good question. And it could be, a lot of it could be genetics. I mean, they're epigenetics. The concept that people are passing down ideas through their DNA to their children is not without merit. The idea that your ideas, that the lessons you've learned in your life are not just stored in your brain, but are stored in every cell in your body, and also stored in your genetic material that passes on to your woman who gives birth to the baby, and the baby has the genetic material from both the mother and the father. I mean, all of that is real stuff, man. I mean, all that is, those are all absolute real possibilities. And it's really incredibly fascinating, the idea that we are this, you know, soup of possibilities. We do exist in this very strange world of so many different things being going on at the same time.
And there is something to, you're right, because that's the experience part of it all, where you get some kind of traumatic experience that really changes your makeup, the way you are as a person, as a human being. And it's like, and at that point, I've seen it even on myself. Not, I'm dealing with it right now. I see how my brain has changed over the last 3-4 years. In some ways, in a good way. In some ways, really not in a good way.
What ways in a bad way?
I think I do have, I didn't think so, but now I'm coming to the realization that I do have some serious PTSD. You know, where seeing, you know, my wife die in my arms wasn't quite as, I can deal with it. Sure, I rationally understand shit happens and everything else, but it did affect me to a different level. So to give you an example, I'll see that, because the way it started with her is like when she got sick, the first thing that was like a tiny little thing. It's like, oh, my shoulder hurts. It's like, big deal, right? It's like, well, you went to the gym and you lifted too much, whatever, something. Seeing that transform in a matter of weeks to, oh, man, I can't move my arm anymore. Oh, I can barely walk. Death, all of that in such a short period of time. Now, every time there's something wrong with my body, I don't just think like, oh, look at that weird little symptom that I'm having. My mind immediately races through the whole sequence, and I'm like, I'm going to die tomorrow of some horrible, terrible disease. And it's like, I know better, right? I know that that's stupid, and I know that that's, if anything, that's like projecting things that are definitely not helping, and if anything, they are damaging, and I still can't help it. You know, there's still part of my brain that, even though consciously I know it's stupid, I still go there every single time there's something wrong with my body.
Wow.
And so it's like, man, what do I need to do to change that? You know, because it's almost like Pavlov's dogs, right? It's conditional response. It's immediately the second something goes their path, I go with it. And you know, there are moments where I have control over it and I can kind of come to this place that because I've seen horrible things can happen any moment, I actually transcend it and I'm like, look, I have no control over anything, so let's have fun right here, right now, because what the hell knows what happened tomorrow.
Right.
That's the empowering part of it, and I love it when I get that. And I don't love so much the other one, which is that terror of, oh shit, something's going to happen. Which, you know, inevitably something's going to happen at some point, right? I mean, everybody dies, everybody gets sick. That's just the nature of the business. But having that in the back of your mind as a sometimes paralyzing thought, that's a whole different game. You know?
That's part of the problem with being a human being, isn't it? The awareness.
Yep.
The awareness of the finite nature of your existence and the fact that it's coming.
Yep.
Whether it's tomorrow or 100 years from now, it's coming. You know, if you told someone that they're going to die in 1,000 years, I'll still freak out.
Like, of course. Like, of course.
1,000, that's it. That's all I have.
Yep.
Every year passes, 999 left. Shit. No,
totally. And yeah. I mean, that's just, you know it, but it's somewhat removed, right? There's that intellectual existential anxiety. And then there's existential anxiety of sort of like people who have seen, whether because of war or sickness or whatever, people close to them die in horrible ways. It's not just an intellectual, or some point in the future something bad is going to happen. It's in the past something bad is going to happen, and any second now can happen. That's not a fun way to live.
You know? No, it's not the best way. It's not good in any sense of the word. Living in the moment and being happy in the moment is it's a very difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. It requires discipline, and it also requires that you develop like a pattern of thinking.
Yep.
And you get, that's one of the things we were talking about with young people, like they automatically start blaming the world and hating on people for whatever has happened wrong to them. Yep. I'm going to make people feel the way I feel. There's patterns of thinking that you can fall into, like almost automatically. And once you have that pattern, it's a cut groove. And that groove is very easy to slip into. It's very comfortable. It's very simple. One of the things that psychedelics do is pull you out of that groove.
Exactly.
They lift you above the motherboard, and you get to see what the groove is. Oh, this is just a pattern that I've created, and it doesn't. Not only is it not empowering, it doesn't even make sense. It's I'm going to live my life a fucking disaster. I'm going to 60 more years of this, and then my fucking heart's going to stop beating, and I'm going to die an asshole. And that's very easy to fall into. It's totally. Very easy. It can happen to all of us.
In fact, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's very hard to reset. And even when you do reset, it's hard to continue that new pattern. It's like it requires great discipline. And sometimes you got to write things down. Writing things down is big.
Right.
You know, writing things down, reading things, positive affirmations. Nobody likes the idea that you go over someone's house and they have fucking all these things written on their walls. They're like, today is a new day. Today we're going to go forth with strength and dignity. But doing stuff like that actually can benefit you. It can. Writing things on walls and, you know, having positive affirmations can help you.
Yeah, because, I mean, some stuff, just because you know it, doesn't mean that you don't need to hear it again and again
to really internalize it.
Because, you know, most people know. I mean, if you have read books, if you have been alive long enough, you probably know what there is to know. You have heard it before.
Yeah.
The difference is transforming that from intellectual knowledge into actual, it's part of your being. Mm-hmm. It's part of something that affects how you behave. Both Aubrey and Amber Lyon gave me the lecture about psychedelics multiple times now regarding this is what you need now.
Amber Lyon is a fascinating case, boy. She has... I've never met anybody that I gave the suggestions to, like I gave to her, where they just fucking ran with it like she did. That shit changed her life.
Amber is a trip.
She's a trip.
I didn't meet her before, so I don't know what the before looked like.
Oh, before, she was a... very rational, serious journalist who is very concerned about the future of humanity and our culture and journalism, because she had seen the ugly side of the beast where she had reported on some horrific events in Bahrain. And when she got back and tried to put together the CNN piece, they instead put out this fluff piece, like almost like a tourism propaganda video for Bahrain. Bahrain, depending on how you say it. But then when I talked to her about ayahuasca, which, by the way, I've never even done. I totally go do ayahuasca.
That was the funniest thing of the story that Amber tells. Is like, I'm in the middle of the jungle. I'm about to down it. And they say, you know that Joe never done it, right? And she's like,
but I've done DMT a dozen times. At least, probably 9, 10, or 12. Yeah, something like that. But it's the same thing. I mean, it isn't, but it is. I mean, it's the same psychoactive substance. In fact, DMT, the smuggable form, is a stronger version of ayahuasca. But ayahuasca tends to be a long spiritual trip, which I thought would really benefit her, you know, that she was struggling from it.
Right. And it sure did. I mean, again, I haven't seen the before, but the after is insane. I mean, Amber is seriously one of those people that...
She glows.
Yeah. Every time I hang out with her, I feel happier. She's a drug. You know what I mean? It's like being in the same room improved the level of happiness. I'm amazed by her every time. I'm just like, are you for real? I mean, it's like, I can't think of too many people that I've met that are that happy.
Yeah. You know? Well, she's doing psychedelics every couple months. I mean, she's fucking hit it so hard from the moment I met her. Like, I guess it was like 2+ years ago, more than 2 years ago, because we didn't have the studio. So from that moment on, when she went to the jungle, I mean, she went to the jungle like a fucking month after I brought her up, maybe even less. Went down there.
Well,
and even though they told her I had never done ayahuasca, she still fucking dove right in. I think I knew that. I mean, I told her to do it. And I knew that it was the thing that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
And some people really need that. They need to go to a place and they need to experience this thing in this very alien form. And it's so transformative because of the fact that you're in that place. You know, I mean, I'm sure I could probably benefit from it, but what I like to do, I mean, my thing, I have a sensory deprivation tank in my basement. So I'm sort of experiencing, as removed as the jungle might be, I'm removing myself from reality itself on this daily basis. Not to say that I wouldn't still benefit from it, but I wouldn't subscribe what I do.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't prescribe, rather. I wouldn't say what you need to do is get a tank filled up with water and you need to trip your fucking balls out and climb in that thing. Like, I'm not doing that.
Right.
You know, I even have friends that come over that don't want to do the tank. They're like, I'm not getting in there.
Why? What's so scary about it? I mean, it's
reality's in that fucking thing.
Oh, because they...
It's a big fucking meat locker of reality.
You know, I need to do that more. The times that I've done it, I mean, I've always liked it. I always felt great.
Sober
it
was like, or no?
Yeah, maybe that's my mistake.
Have you been sober?
Yeah.
Maybe the first time is good to do it sober.
But now it's time to... Yeah.
You know, amateur.
Right, gotcha.
You know, amateur.
Float tank with an asterisk. Gotcha.
The asterisk is very important because whatever the asterisk can do, the asterisk can do in regular life. It's multiplied tenfold inside of there. It becomes, especially edibles. Ooh. Edible marijuana becomes a full-blown psychedelic experience.
You know, I can deal with edibles for some reason.
It's 11-hydroxy metabolite, that's what it is.
Maybe that's the... Because every time I've tried edibles, it's either too little where I don't feel it, or I feel like somebody grabbed the biggest baseball bat in the universe and just slagged me across the head. Not pleasurable, not fun, just like, oh my God, where am I? What the hell is this?
Those are
this?
My favorite trips.
Really? You dig those?
I do. I don't dig them while they're happening.
Yeah.
But when they're over, I learn the most from them. I like being scared like that because I know I'm going to be okay, but I don't know I'm going to be okay when it's happening.
No. I think I got trauma when I was maybe 15 or 16, something like that. I did this, I remember making this tea with hashish. And we got a little carried away because there were supposed to be a bunch of people doing that. And it turned out to be only two of us. So the dose that was supposed to be for like, I think it was like 0.5 gram per person. And instead it was 2.5 gram per person.
That's a lot.
So by the time we down it, you know, an hour goes by with edibles is also messy because you don't feel it right away. So an hour goes by and you're like, nothing happening. 2 hours goes by. I'm like, really? Nothing still? What a waste. We throw that stuff away. I go to sleep. I wake up 2 hours later and I'm just like, oh, who am I? Where am I? And I pass out. And I open up my eyes again. I'm like, oh, who am I? Where am I? And I pass out. And the next 6 hours go on like this, where I basically lose consciousness every 30 seconds and I wake up with this who am I? Where am I thing. After that, I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm doing too bad. And even the other times that I've done it was always not quite that bad, but close. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think edibles are meant for me.
Well, there's so many religions that have cannabis and cannabis eating as the base of their religion. I mean, Hinduism, There's so many passages in ancient Hindu scripts, and like if you look up on Wikipedia, you could look up the entheogenic use of cannabis. Mm-hmm. And it shows all these different times where people have used cannabis as a psychedelic, like not just we're smoking a joint, relax.
Right.
But when you eat it, you have these profound visions. Powerful. If you eat enough, like McKenna used to say that eating like large doses of marijuana was equivalent to eating large doses of mushrooms.
Right.
It's just a matter of having the courage to eat too much.
To go that route.
Yeah.
You never get the crazy fast heart rate on edibles.
You can.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get a fast heart rate, but you get this panic sense. Like, I'm never going to sober up.
Oh, but not as a physical thing. Felt it as a physical thing. Like, I've done...
You get a heart?
Yeah. Where really? I feel my heart start pounding, where I'm just like, Jesus, I'm going like 120 beats per minute or something, which if you're not doing exercise, that's a bit much.
I bet it's anxiety.
That probably is.
Because it brings on a lot of anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy-duty edibles make you really reconsider. It's very difficult to live in the moment on heavy-duty edibles because it mm-hmm. forces you to examine problematic aspects of your past behavior.
Assuming you still have enough lucidity, because there are really times where I'm just like, I'm not examining the table. I don't know who I am.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you could go too deep, yeah.
I've done that with not too long ago with, you know, the Rick Simpson oil? Which is supposed to be great for health and everything, mm-hmm. and, you know. The thing with the oil is that unless somebody's preparing it for you in capsules or something, it's such a guesswork of trying to figure out which one is
how many drops you can put in.
Yeah, so I've done it where I take a tiny bit and I feel nothing, and I'm assuming it's healthy, but whatever, I'm not feeling anything, and I take a tiny bit, and one day I take a tiny bit plus a minuscule tiny micro drop more, and I'm like hitting the trees, right? I'm just way out there, and I'm like, whoa.
Well, it's also who's making those things.
Right, you
know?
Of course.
If they're not, you know, being made in the same place where they make Teslas.
No. Yeah, no, that's part of the problem. When that's why weed itself, you know, when it's the plant, you can kind of figure mm-hmm. things out, and when you're smoking it, you can sort of feel how it's going, and you can up it or stop it. Edibles is you take it, and an hour later, you're in for the surprise to see what it's like.
I was listening to this radio show the other day where people were complaining about marijuana being stronger than it was when they were kids. Like this guy in his 50s who just recently tried marijuana again, and he was talking about how he overdosed. I overdosed on marijuana, and
what does that even mean? How do you exactly?
I almost went to the hospital. I mean, I barely got through it. I mean, you can overdose. I mean, he was like going on like about the pot today.
Right,
it's just dangerous. Like, well, shut the fuck up. Yeah. What are you talking? Like the fact that someone can go on the air and say something like that—that's
bullshit.
It's not just like. You could put a bad thought in someone's head and they really believe they could die from it. Unless they have a computer. How many people have died from marijuana? Zero? Ever? Oh. Never? I'm going to be the first one. I'm going to be the first one to die. Oh, shit. I'm going to fuck it all up for everybody else. I'm going to be the first one to die. Like, there was a guy who died in Colorado because he jumped off a roof, and they were trying to get rid of edibles because one fucking dipshit jumped off a roof.
But even then, the thing is, every single substance that's out there is even the most, hell, water. If you drink too much water, you can die from it, right? I mean, it's like everything is how you use it, who's mm-hmm. using it, what's the context.
Every tool, cars, everything, skateboards, absolutely. Everything is how you lose it. I mean, if we based what kills you, you know, what's illegal, we would literally make everything illegal.
Oh, yeah. Cars should be number one, right?
How about computers? Like, people have died from using computers. Computers have blown up on people.
Right.
And they've died.
Right.
Cell phones have blown up in people's pockets, and they've been gravely injured. Mm-hmm. Has anybody died from a cell phone? Let's find out.
Well, let's... It sounds good anyway.
Killed
exploding
by cell
phones.
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say killed by cell phone.
Well, you're finding out about the cell phone. Let me take care of the tiny monkey.
Okay. Okay. Don't answer the call while charging. Urban legends. Man takes woman's cell phone after she's killed by train. Wow, that's dark.
Man killed by cell phone explosion.
Okay, let's see. Gizmodo. Man killed by cell phone explosion. A Korean man was apparently killed by his LG cell phone today. And this was, by the way, in 2007. They probably got old shit back then. He was carrying the phone in his shirt pocket when it exploded, puncturing his heart and lungs. It happened in North Chungcheong province of Korea as the man was working on a construction site. He was found dead by one of his coworkers. Whoa. Do you think his parents or his family got some money?
Wait, this was North Korea?
Yeah. No, South Korea.
South Korea?
Yeah. Hmm. It says a Korean man, North Chungcheong. It just says Korea. It doesn't say North or South Korea. I'm assuming it's South Korea.
Yeah, because in North Korea, I think they're about 252 years away from seeing cell phones.
Yeah, this is, yeah, no kidding, right? Poor bastards. That's like one of the craziest things about 2014, that we still have a real live communist dictator running an entire country that's terrified of this little goofy, chubby, moon-faced motherfucker.
I know.
Who's the son of another goofy, chubby, moon-faced motherfucker.
Yeah, it's stuff like that just... Yeah, or the ISIS guy. I mean, things that really belong to the Middle Ages, that you're like, really? We're still doing this shit? Come on. Really? Yeah. This is where... And on one end, you know, you see humanity and we are so damn advanced and we are doing these amazing things. And on the other end, we're doing still the same shit that we're doing 2,000 years ago.
Those ISIS guys, they release videos on YouTube too. Graphic, horrific videos on YouTube. And then they don't get pulled until like, you know, weeks later, people find out about them. Like, I don't know how like... a video gets pulled from YouTube. I mean, someone has to flag it, I guess.
Yeah.
And like maybe they're only sending it to the people that they know or whatever, and it'll survive a while before. But somebody put something up, like, check this shit out. And I went and clicked on the link, and I was like, Jesus, this is on YouTube?
I know.
It's these guys shooting each other, shooting these guys while they're on the ground and then cutting their heads off. Like, all very, very graphic. And I was like, I can't believe this is on YouTube.
No, there's stuff out there that makes you... I've seen one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen was this one thing in, like, somewhere in Africa or somebody suspected of being witches. And so they grabbed these three people and set them on fire. And you see them. After a while, I was like, you know what? Why the hell am I watching this?
Yeah.
Done. Over. You know, I know it happens. I don't need to see it in... It's nuts. It's like a video straight out of the 1300s or something.
Yeah, in 2014.
Yep.
Is all the progress that we've gone through to get to this point in age, and there's still some people that just, you could take them, you could shove them back to the year zero, and they would fit
perfectly
right in.
Perfectly comfortable, yes.
Yeah, it's, well, that's, there's that thing going on with human beings, man, that spectrum, that the broad spectrum of behavior. We're... It almost seems like you have to have like shitty people to appreciate the good people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if there's ever going to come a time where there's a legitimate biological utopia where like human beings, like where they achieve some form of enlightenment where everyone has reached the duh stage. You know, like we're talking about like this atheism plus, like they rattle this on to themselves, but they should know better. They're all fucking educated and going to conferences and stuff like that. They see, it's like they're preaching to the choir essentially, or propping themselves up on a nice moral high ground in front of their peers. But there's going to come a time where the whole world is like that.
Right.
Is that possible?
That would be, and I get, you know, what you're saying about you need the bad people to appreciate the good people.
Yeah.
If there's a general improvement of humanity going in a more pleasant direction, we don't need the bad people. Just give us a DVD showing us what this is, what the bad people experience is like. And then you go, whoa, really? And, you know, make people very... Maybe have a lot of empathy, so you watch movies and you get almost like the experience without having actually to deal with it. Because the whole rationale that you even hear religiously about how you need evil in order to appreciate the good, like, to what degree, man? Because when you look about human history, there has been so much evil that is like, really? I could actually do with 100 of that, I will learn the lesson. I don't need to learn that same lesson over and over again in such brutal, nasty fashion.
Yeah.
There's something about the design of human history, or nature for that matter, because as you say multiple times, I mean, when you look at nature, it's like, it's not a soft, fuzzy, happy animals running around the forest. It's brutal, it's fangs and claws and the whole thing. And it's like, yeah, maybe if it's about appreciating the good stuff, there would be a gentler way to go about it. Do we really have to go this hardcore to make it happen?
Yeah, nature is the most vicious motherfucker of all.
Yep.
My friend was telling me about watching this bear kill this female bear.
Mm-hmm.
He was watching these grizzly bears. They were observing them. And male was trying to mate with this female grizzly bear, and the grizzly bear didn't want to mate with him. She kept pushing him off and yelling at him, and right. he kept trying so hard to get her to mate with him, but she didn't want to do it.
Right.
And then a new grizzly bear, a new female, came into the picture, and the new female came into the picture and started trying to get him to mate with her.
Right.
And he got angry that she was distracting him, so he murdered her in front of the other
Jesus.
Bear.
Jesus.
Just tore her apart.
Just like that. Huh?
Just ripped her to shreds. And he said it was the craziest thing because all of a sudden this bear had its feet up in the air and it was just dead.
Right.
Like within seconds. Like a few seconds ago, it had wandered into the camp, you know, or into this little valley where these bears were. And tried to get this bear to mate. And he's a biologist. And
right.
So he was, you know, observing this stuff. Or if he's not a biologist, he works with biologists. And he was observing this stuff. And he said it was one of the most disturbing things he's ever seen in his life. He's a hunter. He's lived his whole life hunting. And, you know, death is a normal, natural part of life to him. But this, to him, freaked him out more than anything he'd ever seen.
I bet.
Because he said it was so brutal and it was so instantaneous. You know, it's just really crazy, man.
Did I ever tell you about the rapist necrophiliac ducks?
Ducks?
I didn't tell you about the rapist necrophiliac ducks.
I don't think so.
No, I have to tell
God.
You that.
God.
So, you know, cute little ducks. They are adorable. I remember seeing ducks being born, hatching out of an egg. And I'm like, I'm never eating egg again then. You know, I'm never eating duck again. Poor little duck. You know, you got into this romanticized, cute, fuzzy thing, right?
Right.
And then I start reading about ducks that apparently... male ducks are particularly fond of raping female ducks. And but this is where it gets interesting. So they go, I'm sure maybe you have seen them in these super high-speed chases where the female is running and there's like two or three male flying right behind her. And during these high-speed chases, occasionally the female take the wrong turn and she crashes into something, a tree or a window or something, and then she breaks her neck and dies immediately. But, you know, body's still warm, so the wannabe rapist ducks on pursuits decide, ah, what the hell, we don't want to waste this, so, and they just get on and have sex with the dead corpse. After that, I'm like, ducks are back on the menu, motherfuckers, because you guys are mean and horrible, and I'm going to eat you again.
Maybe they should show that to all those people that are trying to keep people from eating foie gras.
Right.
You know, that's a weird thing that California has. California has a law where you're not allowed to eat duck liver, but you can eat ducks.
Yeah.
Because they were force-feeding these ducks to get their liver to grow, and people found out to be unbelievably cruel.
Damn.
I guess crueler than killing them
right.
and eating them. Like force-feeding them to get their livers to grow larger was crueler than killing them and eating them. Okay.
I mean, you know, the stuff that's done in raising animals at an industrial level tend to be pretty fucked up, which is why even people whine about that, but they do anything related to whether you have leather or you eat any kind of meat is ridiculous, because it's like hunting is a lot cleaner that way. Mm-hmm. You know, you let an animal have its life, be free and everything else. Commercial farming, there's some nasty stuff happening. At the same time, you know, there are limits to how far you want to take it, because there are not too many simple, clean, painless, easy ways to do things that still deliver the goods that people rely on. So it's a very, that's why it's the same thing as the stuff we were saying earlier. Any kind of dogmatic position about this, either the screw animals, they are just here for us to use and who cares whether they suffer horribly, or the poor little bunnies, you can't touch anything, everything. They are both ridiculous, right? They both have a point, and they are both ridiculous if taken too far.
Have you ever seen the video of a woman? She walks into a restaurant and tells everyone in the restaurant that what they're eating is not food, it's violence.
No.
And she goes in and she tells everybody about her little girl. I want to tell you about my little girl. And it's a chicken she's talking about.
Oh, God.
And her name is Snow. Have you seen it? Have you seen it, Jamie?
No.
Oh, I'll let me find it for you. We should play it because it's just so ridiculous. No, that's not food. It's violence. Are you done, kid? We can end this. And next time you come by, I'll bring my daughters, and we'll have a little party.
They can play.
Vegan rant goes viral. This isn't food, it's violence. Pull this up and we'll Have you seen what Bill Cosby did yesterday?
Jimmy was just telling me about it right before we
good
started.
Lord, if you don't know what's going on about Bill Cosby, I gotta be very careful how I phrase this. allegedly has raped a large number of women and allegedly has drugged these women and raped. I mean, I find it hard to believe that 13 women would make something
right.
up. That's a large number. I mean, there would have to be some massive conspiracy dating back to the 1970s that's just now being uncovered.
Mm-hmm.
So he put this thing on his website yesterday, like, meme, go ahead and meme me with a photo of him and, you know, the meme being the print that you can add, yeah. a meme generator. And his said, Happy Monday. And these people just wow. went crazy. I mean, it got so ugly. Like, I mean, one of them was, like, one, the first one was, like, more than a dozen women have accused me of rape. Like, how can I hear you say no? Because he's got, like, headphones on. What do you mean you're pressing charges? I mean, it's these are the mild ones.
Well, but I mean, what was he thinking? You know, it's...
He's a fucking idiot.
What the hell was he thinking?
Or, a lot of people believe that someone who works for him did it on purpose.
Really?
Yeah, that someone who works for him knew that it was going to... Like, someone who is, like, a website designer.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think, like, website designers, a lot of times, younger people, and maybe even a woman,
right.
you know, who, like, was like, this fucking piece of shit, I can't believe I'm working for him, or a guy who's sympathetic to what's going on, and says, look, how do I get this fucker?
That would actually be genius.
Yeah.
That's what happened? That's great.
I mean, they put a bunch of them that were, like, really cute on his website. Like, they took some of the ones that people had created that were PG-rated, but the amount that were rape-related was staggering.
Well, of course.
Of course.
What's if it, like, in the news, what's has been, like, what have you heard about him in the news over the last year has been this story, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, of course that's what's going to pop up. Of course that's what's going to happen.
And no one has pressed charges. It's like, I wonder how you could, because it seems strange, you know? It seems like, if you don't have the physical evidence, like, but you have 13 people telling a similar story,
yeah,
I wonder how that works.
Depends also from how long ago it is.
Yeah.
Because that's also...
Statute of limitations? Yeah. Is there a statute of limitations on rape?
I'm hesitant. I think it is. I think there is.
Isn't that what saved that Seventh Heaven guy?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what
it is, right?
Yeah.
There's a statute of limitations
on
rape?
That's what I think there
is. Yeah. Then why is there a statute of limitations on something so horrible?
I know. It becomes tricky, though, because, of course, once you wait to report it, it's all physical evidence is gone. And then you have to rely on a lot thinner kind of evidence that's a lot harder to make the case.
There's also the thing about memory that
right.
we discussed earlier,
yep.
that human memory is one of the worst pieces of evidence yep. you could ever get. There are people that I have had experiences with where they'll go, hey, remember when we did this and did that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, we never even did that. Like, what are you talking about? I was never
right.
even there with you.
Yep.
No, you went with us. I'm like, listen, man, I've never been to South Dakota.
Right.
Stop. Like, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Or they remember the wrong state. Or I mean, people's memories are fucking terrible.
Yeah.
They're awful.
Yeah.
Do you have this video?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll play this, and then we'll give her a chance. Just look at how she looks. She's done. We did in like an hour and a half. That's all good. Like, you got to see this. Watch this video. Put your headphones on so you can hear this, though. Oh, it's not plugged in anymore?
Yeah,
hold on a second.
Of course.
Hold on a second. Give it a chance. Did she yank it out?
Of course.
Okay. We'll just play this, and then we'll end it. This is just so ridiculous. This woman walks in this restaurant, and there's a whole group of people behind her. She walked into a restaurant while people are eating.
I have a little girl. She was very abused for her entire life. She was terrified. She has a very determined look in her eyes wherever she goes. And she was hurt and abused her entire life because of this establishment and because of establishments like it. She was locked away. She was hidden. She had nobody there for her. She was crying. She was scared every single moment. And because her usefulness had run out, she was going to be killed. Someone was going to murder her. And I can see you smiling, and I can see you laughing, but to her, this is not funny. I went in there with other humans, and I took her out of there. And if I hadn't, she wouldn't be with me right now. She would be gone, just like all of her sisters. Just like everybody who we left behind. And I'm here to tell you today that all of those other girls, but everyone who we left behind, they just wanted to live too. And they deserve their lives. And right now, their eggs and their milk and their bodies are on plates inside this restaurant.
Chickens don't have
so
milk.
Unfair to them.
Dummy.
My she little girl's name is there. Snow.
Yeah.
And every time you see someone eating somebody else's eggs or somebody else's body, you are going to remember her name. Her name is Snow. She's a beautiful little girl, and she just wants to live. This isn't food. It's violence.
This is the best part. They all come in, and they all have a sign. Like, it's not just to say it. They have to have a sign. They hold up a sign.
It's not food. It's violence. Please think of her name every time you see somebody's body on a plate.
These meek, fucking
Snow,
pathetic people that are just so lucky their ancestors ate meat to get them to 2014. Idealistic little kids.
I love how in this video then you have the Temptations in the background,
yes,
saying my girl, and you're like, you have this old mellow, like,
that's perfect. But it's crazy, she has this determined look in her eyes.
I know.
She goes, no she doesn't, okay, her expression never changes, she's a fucking chicken, god damn it.
Man.
Crazy lady. It's that is one of the my favorite videos ever.
Yeah,
because she's just so bonkers. Like, I see you smiling. Gee, I wonder why we're smiling. Maybe because you're kind of crazy. You're walking into a chicken restaurant with more people. And Jamie's right. There's more people came with her than were in the restaurant.
Right.
She must have caught it at like 2 a.m. some off hour.
Right.
It's like, it was just so strange. But she's a little girl. She has a determined look in her eye wherever she goes. And she just wants to live. And people are eating her eggs.
Yeah.
Guess what? I eat my chicken's eggs. And they don't care at all. You know why? Because the eggs don't become a chicken, you
right.
fucking dunce.
Yike.
Oh, they're just eggs. When you have chickens, you can have chickens as pets. They provide you with free protein.
Right.
You give them food. And they give you protein that doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't
yep.
harm them. They have chicken. They lay eggs every day.
Right.
This idea that then they're milk. No. There's no chicken milk. I've never seen chicken
and if
milk.
There is, stay away from it, because that's bad for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
They don't breastfeed. But this, you know, that is the spectrum. That's the spectrum. I mean, sensitivity is important, and understanding of nature is important. I mean, and I've been accused, especially lately, over the last couple of years since I started hunting, of being cruel, of doing it because you enjoy killing animals. I don't at all. I mean, I enjoy hunting. I enjoy bringing home the meat. I think that the killing of the animals, the worst part of it, the fact that you're able to take an animal out of nature, though, like in the most natural environment possible, like if I didn't exist, that animal would be doing the exact same thing
mm-hmm.
until I came along. There was no influence whatsoever on its life,
right.
And then all of a sudden, boom, it ends, which is going to end by wolves.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to end by, especially where I was. I was up in Canada where
they
have so many wolves up there. They have no limit on how many wolves you can shoot.
Serious?
Yes.
That big of a wolf population.
Huge
wow.
population problem. Huge.
Wow.
Like they have elk, they have deer, they have moose, and
mm-hmm.
wolves are just killing them left and right. While we were up there, we actually came upon, we saw all these ravens that were floating around this one area. So we're trying to figure out what it was that they were attracted to. So we went over to it and we found this moose calf that had been torn apart by wolves. This is the moose calf. I'll put it up on
Whoa.
My Instagram later so you guys can see, because you're not going to be able to see
yeah,
this
not
calf.
Much left.
But this, oh, it's just mangled. It was crazy. And
mm-hmm.
it was wolves. Wolves had taken it from its mother.
Right.
And they just figured out a way to get a hold of it and just ripped it
yep,
apart.
Of course.
And devoured it, and there was hair all over the ground and everything. That's the reality of that life. The
right.
wolves get it, and then what's left, the coyotes get that, and then what's left, you know, and any other scavengers get that. That is a much more likely death than by hunter.
Yeah.
The hunter death is the least likely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And in that sense, again, to me, it's like everything is going to die. As
mm-hmm.
long as you're not doing where you're wiping out a species, and as long as you're not doing where you are adding unnecessary pain to the process,
right.
then that's the nature of the business.
Well, what this woman is doing by running into that restaurant and saying, it's not food, it's violence. Like, you're missing the whole point. You're missing it's not violence. It's they're ending life so that you could eat it. And yeah, it's kind of a crazy way to do it because we're detached from it. You're right about that.
Yeah, but again, that's like a shitty communication strategy because I'm sure she can have part of a point where she's right because there are issues with commercial farming that are nasty.
Terrible.
But, you know, there's a way to communicate it where you or I would be like, oh, you're right, you make a good point, so maybe we can tweak the laws a tiny bit to do it in a more humane way. Totally agree. You go like this, you're preaching to the choir. You only have like 10 other people who feel the exact same way you do agree with you. Even if somebody's 80% your way, they're going to look at you and go like, whoa, you really went off the deep end.
Well, she's emotionally unbalanced. Right. And on top of that, that leads people to want to kill more chickens.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. I mean, I have this guy that I'm friends with up in Alaska, or in BC rather, that runs this hunting camp. And he would get these death threats from people because they would be hunting wolves.
Right.
And the reason why they hunt wolves, they had one of their cows torn apart by wolves.
Right.
These 30 wolves got a hold of a cow and ripped it apart while the people were in the house and they're hearing...
Right.
They look out the window and they see these wolves bringing down a cow and kill... That is crazy stuff, man. To look out your window and see this 2,000-pound animal get taken out by this pack of wild, murderous animals.
Yep.
It's got to be pretty cool, but also pretty goddamn terrifying.
Definitely.
And people do get killed by wolves, and they certainly did in large numbers back in the day, which is why the Little Red Riding Hood, the Big Bad Wolf, we don't think about that today because it's not an issue, but there was many, many times throughout history where wolves had killed people. If you Google, like, wolf deaths by people, before we had eradicated, like, large populations of the wolves, there was actually a ceasefire in World War
I. Yeah, because, I remember that story.
The Germans and the Russians actually called a ceasefire because so many of them were getting killed by wolves.
Yep.
They said, all right, let's just stop killing each other, fuck these wolves up, and
first,
then go back.
And then we can go back to killing each other, yes.
That's how nutty wolves are. So these people were sending this guy death threats, and he said, every time you send me a death threat, I'm going to shoot a wolf in the guts.
Right.
And so they stopped sending him death threats.
No,
they stopped posting it. This woman was like, I'm going to post on your page every day. If you ban me, I'm going to make a new name.
Right.
And he goes, okay, every time you do that, I'm going to shoot a wolf in the guts. Silence.
Yeah. I figure that that take care of business.
Yeah.
I mean, there really is a way of communicating where it's just like, you think it's funny, don't you?
She thinks it's funny.
Yeah. Ha ha, shooting the gut. Ha ha, so funny. No, I mean, there's really a way to communicate that gets the job across. It's like most people like to communicate in a preach to the choir kind of way. Most people will communicate in a way that's not considering where you are coming from, the person they are talking with.
Right.
They're only considering where they are coming from.
And they want you to feel what they're feeling and think what they're thinking.
Exactly.
Only they want to force their ideology on you.
Yep.
In that sense, like veganism or vegetarianism is sort of a religion, just like we're talking about atheism plus is a religion.
Right.
So is being a Christian, and so is being a Mormon, and you know, it's like it's ideology. It's all thought process. So you could label it and call it a religion. Mm-hmm. You could label it, you know, call it a cult. You could call it whatever you want.
Sure.
But it's just thought processes, thought patterns that you want other people to think. You don't want them to express themselves, and you can look at it from their point of view. No, you want them to know, and you're right. This is not food. It's violence. No, it's food. It actually is food.
Right.
It's fucking chicken, and I'm about to eat. And you crazy bitch. You came in with all these meek fucking low blood sugar freaks holding up signs thinking you're going to change the world. You're not changing shit. Go get a job. What are you guys doing here at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? How are you feeding yourself? Do you have jobs? What are you doing? Your fucking parents are putting you through school? Is that what's going on here?
And the thing there is, like, how many people's minds have you just changed by doing that?
Zero.
0.0. So it's like, even if you believe that you're 100% right in your message, go back to the drawing board and look at that. What you just did is bullshit because it doesn't lead to any single person being convinced. So figure out a better communication strategy because you suck. You know?
She needs to get on some ayahuasca. The fucking elves would let her know. Chickens are going to die no matter what, bitch. Yeah, last time I did DMT, I asked them about hunting. I asked, and they were like, okay, whatever. That's literally what they said. I went into it, and I had this thought in my head. I was like, is hunting, and is it morally acceptable? Is there anything wrong with hunting? They're like, it's fine. Who cares? They're like showing me all these different things about life. They're like, look, you're going to die. Like, it all dies. Everything dies. It all goes into this thing, and they're showing me all these, you know, this fractal reality. And I felt silly for asking that question.
That I have to tell you about then my one and only DMT experience, which was pretty funny because I did it with Duncan.
Oh.
And, you know, Duncan is hitting it and he's like seeing God and the universe and he has this beatific smile on his face and he's just like, and I'm just like, I'm looking at him and I think, you are the goofiest bastard I've ever seen. And I'm just laughing my ass off, but I'm not seeing, you know, I'm not having the same. And I keep hitting it. So I'm like, dude, there should be. And at one point I think, whoa, my perception is changing. I am beginning to have vision because I see that Duncan's ceiling is all warped and weird. And then eventually I come down from the experience and I realize that Duncan's ceiling is really just warped and weird. That is just.
So it wasn't working on you?
It was working in the sense that it was like the biggest, it was like the biggest weed high in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I had like big body high. You know, I felt it really like sinking into the couch and melting into the couch. And I felt it that like everything was hilarious, but I did not have a single visual. Nope, not one. And, you know, I took as much as Duncan did. And again, he was out there, you know, spacing out with the creators of the cosmos and having a discussion.
And you
there.
Were like passing it back and forth. So it's like you're getting it at the same time. Yep. That's weird. You know, they do say that there's a certain percentage of people it doesn't work on.
And I'm sure that maybe, you know, the next time you take one more.
How many hits?
It's like a lot. A lot. He was, after a while, I was getting mad. I was like, come on, man. It's like, you know, it's like, but I've seen it even with weed where I'm like, I'll smoke, I'll take a hit of weed and in the afternoon or in the evening, and I'm like, I barely affects me. It's pleasant, you know, it's really pleasant, but in a very mild kind of way. If I do it before lunch, I'm in another universe. I did it once. I made this horrible mistake with David Seaman, like before a podcast. He offered me a hit and I took a hit and I didn't eat before. And all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of this podcast that he's like, I hear him talk and I hear that his voice is coming, the sentence is coming to an end. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. I have no idea what he just said. I don't know what I'm going to say. Oh, my God.
That's, you know, so funny.
It's still me, same substance. One hit versus 10 in another case, and the 10 were left. It's like, I don't know.
It's also different kinds of weed, too. You can get a hold of some really strong stuff. But that's the DMT thing's weird that it worked on Duncan and not you.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe it's one of those things, man. One of those things where you have that thing where you don't, it doesn't work on you.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. I'll report after the next one.
Young lady, you have amazing patience. I'm very impressed with you. We're going to end this podcast now because you're just going to squirm yourself into a coma.
You earned a kiss. Can I give you a kiss now?
Yeah, give daddy a kiss. Mwah. All
thanks,
right.
Your love.
Daniela, you're awesome. Next time we do this, let's do it again, and we'll bring my kids and we'll have a little party. You'll hear a bunch of screaming back there.
Much more less boring.
Much more less boring. Okay. I agree.
What I'm gonna do is speak it out and say, Dada, could you now take me home?
Yeah, okay. That's how we're gonna do it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, brother. And your
so
podcast,
much.
Let people know how to get a hold of you on Twitter and your podcast.
D Bolelli, as in my first initial, Daniel, as in D B O L E L L I on Twitter. And then podcast is The Drunken Taoist with a T, T A O I S T. If you just look up danielebolelli.com, which is Daniel plus an E at the end, B-O-L-E-L-L-I, that probably refers you to everything else, so that would be the easy route. And I'll just throw out there now, I'm working on a second podcast that's going to happen at some point. There's if you dig hardcore history, you may dig this while I'm playing with. But, you know, that's right now is on the back burner because I have to finish writing a book. I have 17,000 things to take care of. But hopefully by the beginning of the year, something moves.
Beautiful. All right, man. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate you coming on here, and especially under tight circumstances like this. We'll make it happen next time, okay? I'll bring my kids.
Thanks so much.
Little kid party. Sound good?
Yeah, you're much better. And then we have to go. And then we have to go. Talk.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, we'll be on with Dr. Mark Gordon, who's going to talk about traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder in soldiers. We're actually bringing on one of his patients. We're going to talk about his experiences, and hopefully we could help some other folks out there that are experiencing a very similar situation. So tomorrow, much love. See you soon.